Living by faith, Hebrews chapter 11, is pictures of people living by faith. So first of all, we begin with review. There are four things that we look at. People living by faith, four things are true about them that we glean from this chapter. I'm sure there are more than four, but we're going to focus on these four. People living by faith have a single ambition, and that single ambition is the pursuit of God. That becomes very clear in this chapter. They have a single ambition, and that ambition is the pursuit of God. People living by faith. Then for today, what we learn from today's text in chapter 11, verses 7 through 12, is that people living by faith take action. They have a single pursuit, and that single ambition, and that ambition is the pursuit of God. And then we learned from this text today that people of faith take action. In other words, it's not just something that they know in their head. It is something that they take action upon. They entrust themselves to the information that they have received, and they act upon that information. Let me give you a very simple illustration, if I may, to begin with. You get a loud knock on your door in the middle of the night because you forgot to change the batteries in your fire alarm when the time change happened, right? When daylight savings time ended, you didn't change the batteries, so your fire alarm isn't working. You get a loud knock on your door in the middle of the night. Get up, get up, your house is on fire. Now that's information, isn't it? If you believe that information, what are you going to do? Ah, go away, I'm tired, I don't want to get up. Right? If you believe that information, you're going to get up, you're going to grab the kids, and you're going to run. Hopefully you'll grab your kids and run, okay? But that's the whole point. If you believe the information you've received, if you believe that the one giving you the information is credible and trustworthy, then you're going to act on that information. If you don't act on it, the truth is you don't believe it, or you don't trust the one who gave you the information. Folks, that's what faith is, pure and simple. People living by faith take action. There's a comedian, Louis C.K., he said this, and I quote, he says, "I have a lot of beliefs, and I live by none of them. That's just the way I am. They're just my beliefs. I just like believing them. I like that part. They're my little believies. They make me feel good about who I am. But if they get in the way of a thing I want, I just do what I want to do." That's not faith. Just because you say you believe something doesn't mean that you have faith. People living by faith take action. Because the truth is simply put this way, as Hiram W. Smith put it, your behavior is a reflection of what you truly believe. Your behavior is a reflection of what you truly believe. A.W. Tozer was a prophet in his day, and he said some very striking things. And I have this book, This World, Playground or Battleground, and I read it, and I'm like, this is really, really challenging stuff. He said, "To many Christians, Christ is little more than an idea, or at best, an ideal." For those of you here in the South, those two are not the same thing. Just want you to be aware of that. Okay. To many Christians, he is not a fact. Millions of professed believers talk as if he were real and act as if he were not. Our actual position is always to be discovered by the way we act, not by the way we talk. People living by faith take action. What you believe, you do. Everything else is just religious rhetoric. And so the question comes up then, well, is faith blind? And that's what a lot of people believe today. That's a lot of people accuse religious people, people of faith, that faith is just blind. Well, whatever you want to believe, that's fine for you. If you want to believe that, then go for it. But faith is blind. That's what some people believe. Let's first of all begin with understanding that just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. If you begin with yourself, if you begin with just something you want, in other words, a self-reference point, then yes, it is just wishful thinking, because you are not sufficient enough to be a reference point for yourself. But if you have an informer, one who gives you information, and that informer has a bigger view than yours, he has a much greater perspective than yours. And not only does that informer, the one who gives information, not only does he have a much greater perspective than yours, but he has communicated to you what to do about that perspective and about that information. And if you have evidence that what the informer has said is true and that he is trustworthy, then you have reason to act upon that information. It is reasonable to entrust yourself to the informer's instructions. That's kind of a philosophical approach to reasonable faith. Faith is not blind. Credulity is blind. If you want to believe something just for the sake of believing it without any reason or evidence or support or justification to believe it, that's one thing, but don't call it faith. That's not faith. Faith has an object. And the object is the one who has given the information, and you entrust yourself, you take action upon the information that that object has given you. For example, before the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary, I believe it was, blind skiers were being trained for slalom skiing. If you're familiar at all with downhill skiing, you know that's not an easy thing. Improbable as that sounds, it is true. The blind skiers were paired with skiers, of course, who could see. And they were taught on flat slopes how to make right turns and left turns. And when they mastered that, they were taken to the slalom slope, where the sighted partners skied beside them shouting, left, right. And as they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line, depending solely on the sighted skier's word. You see, it was either complete trust or a catastrophe. They had information. The one giving the information was trustworthy. Therefore, they acted upon that trustworthy information from the trustworthy informer. That's faith. That's trust. So it is with faith in God. The basis for action is the object of faith. And as Michael Horton said, we quoted him last time, faith embraces truth. Just because you believe something doesn't make it truth. You take something that is true, and faith embraces that truth. That is the nature of faith. Now, as we learn from today's text, we're going to look at three examples today of people who are examples of faith. And it points to the trustworthiness of the one who is the object of faith. It's not that these people had such great faith. It's just simply the matter that they had faith, and because they had faith, they acted upon that faith, trusting the one who gave them the information as the basis of their faith. So there's three elements, there's three common components that we see here in people who exercise faith. And the first one is information. That information comes from a trustworthy informer who is the object of their faith, the basis of their trust. This is the one that they are trusting, the one who is giving the information and the information that he gives. That is the basis of their faith, this information that comes from a person who gives information. The second common component is that there are unknowns. The one who gives the information does not give all the information that a person may desire, or does not give all the information that the person is even capable of receiving, maybe because the person receiving the information isn't even capable of handling all the information. That's you and me, in contrast to God. He is an infinite mind, and we are finite creatures. We cannot possibly handle all the information that God has and knows. He knows it all. He's infinite in His understanding. And He does not give us all information, but He has given us information. So there are unknowns, and because there are unknowns, that's the very reason why the person exercising faith needs to trust the one giving the information, because there are unknowns. If you knew everything, you wouldn't have to trust, would you? Now stop and think about that for a minute. If you knew everything, you wouldn't have to trust. There would be no reason for faith. How many of us exercise so much energy and resource in trying to know everything? You can't do that. And God says, I have given you information. Act upon the information that I have given you. And that's the third component. In these examples of people exercising faith, one, there is information. Two, there are unknowns. But three, there is action. The one exercising faith takes action even though there are unknowns, because the one giving the information is trustworthy and he gives trustworthy information. So the whole point of this comes back to the fact that God is a trustworthy informer. He is the object of our faith. This is not credulity. This is not a blind leap in the dark. God has given information. And so we have three examples before us today, beginning in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, of those who exercised faith. And we're going to look at these three components in all three of these examples. There was information, there were unknowns, but there was action. Those who exercised faith, they took action upon the information that they did have. So we begin with Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So first of all, there was information. Did Noah have information? Yes, he did. He was warned by God. How God communicated that, the Bible doesn't say so. God oftentimes in the Old Testament spoke in visions and dreams. But he came and he approached Noah and he informed Noah that something is going to happen. Information from a trustworthy informer. God said, I am going to judge the world. There is going to be a flood. What is that? That is information. Here's another element of the information. Not only is there going to be a flood, you need to build an ark, a big boat, a huge boat. That's information. God warned him. All right? So what are the unknowns in this equation then? Did Noah have all the information regarding everything that would be happening? What does it say? Being divinely warned of things not yet seen. I've never seen anything like this before, Noah says. Events yet unseen. Lord God, what is a flood? He'd never seen a flood before. Lord God, what is an ark? I've never seen an ark before. We live on dry land. What is this big boat thing you want me to build? God gave him the information that he needed. And though he'd never seen anything like this before, and though he was ridiculed incessantly by those among whom he lived. Yet the action that he took, what does the scripture say, condemned the world? It convicted them of their lack of faith. What does the scriptures tell us? Noah moved with godly fear out of reverence and awe for the one who communicated to him, rendering him, judging him trustworthy and trustworthy information. Noah had never seen anything like this before, but he took action on the information from God. And he saved his own soul and the souls of his household. You see, people living by faith take action. He built a gigantic boat expecting a lot of water, and he entrusted himself to the information based on his understanding and trust of the informer. Folks, that's faith. That's living by faith. All right, we take to the second example now in verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. Okay, so did Abraham have information? Yes. Once again, God spoke to Abraham. God communicated to Abraham because God is person. He is a communicator. So he communicates to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want you to go out of your land and I want you to go to another land. And so we have that in verse 8. He was called to go out. Verse 9, there is a promise mentioned. Verse 10, he waited for a city. So God gave him information. God says, I have this objective, this people that I am building for myself. That is the information that Abraham had. That was truth. What were the unknowns? What is the very end of verse 8? And he went out not knowing where he was going. You see, he didn't have all the information, but he had enough information that he was able to trust the one who gave him the information. He went out not knowing where he was going. Look at verse 10 with me for a second. And he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What is the essential point of this verse? It is that there is more to this than what I can see here and now. There is more to existence. There is more to reality than what I can see here and now. This is a problem for empiricists who believe the only things that we can know are the things that we can experience with our senses. Bertrand Russell was a British philosopher. And he made this well-known statement: what science cannot tell us, man cannot know. What science cannot tell us, man cannot know. There's a problem with that statement. It's a fatal problem with a statement. Science didn't teach us that statement. Therefore, if that statement is true, then it is false. That's a problem. What science cannot teach us, man cannot know. That catapults any possibility of revelation from God. That is a wrong statement. Abraham knew that. God communicated to Abraham, and then what does it say? He obeyed. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He obeyed and he lived in the land. He moved away from home. He didn't know exactly where his destination was, but he moved out. He put one step in front of the other and he said goodbye to home and he moved out. Not only did he just move out, but he also, what does the scripture tell us? He lived in tents for a while. So this Abraham, a very wealthy man by the standards of his day, in his obedience to God, he remained wealthy, but he was a wealthy tent-dwelling nomad. That wasn't exactly his career of choice now, was it? But he obeyed God. He entrusted himself to the information that God gave him, to the call that God placed upon his life. We have a third example in Sarah, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. What is the information that Sarah had? She considered him faithful who had promised. In other words, God had made a promise. God had made a promise, a specific promise. You will have descendants coming from you and Abraham. You will have descendants. It says they will be innumerable as the stars in the sand. In other words, look at the stars. You want to start counting them? No, that's okay. I'm not going to bother. Okay, go to the seashore. Look at the sand. You want to start counting that? No. In other words, you're going to have so many, it's not going to be worth counting them. You're going to have a lot of descendants, and they're going to come directly from you and Abraham. That was a promise. Let me pause here for a moment, okay? Because we want to trust God, and we ought to trust God. And we ought to trust the information and the promises that God gives us. Now, listen to this very brief warning, okay? Because there are a lot of things you want. Do not accuse God of keeping promises, not keeping promises that he hasn't made. Do not accuse God of not keeping promises that he hasn't made. What are you basing your faith upon? Make sure the object of your faith is God and the information that he has given you. If he has not given you specific information, then don't base a promise upon that. Many people do that today. It's because what they call faith is not faith at all. It's simply credulity. Oh, I believe God's going to bring you through that. Really? I believe God's going to keep you alive. I just believe he's going to. Believing something doesn't make it true. There has to be an object of trust. And that object of trust has to be information from the one who gives information. Be very, very careful about that. Many Christians have suffered shipwreck because they were simply trusting God for something that he had not promised. So be very careful about that. Sarah had information. She had a specific promise from God. But also, there were unknowns. What were the unknowns? Well, very simply, describe Sarah for me in one word. She was old. She was well past the age of childbearing. She was an old woman. So she would say, how could this even be possible? Now, how does the scripture describe Abraham? Not only was he old, he was as good as... This man was shriveled up. Okay? How's this child thing going to happen? Listen, these were unknowns. How on earth is this even possible? This was unknown in Sarah's mind, but God had given her the promise that they would have children. So what's number three? They took action. They took action. Sarah made Abraham a candlelight dinner. And the rest is history. I know, at that day all dinners were by candlelight. I understand that, but you get the point anyway, right? Listen, there is a virgin birth recorded in the scriptures. This isn't it, okay? They took action. They trusted God. They trusted the specific promise that God had given them. And that is faith. People living by faith take action. They're not simply looking for a comfort zone and saying, okay, I'm just going to live right here. No. What has God said? What has God proclaimed to be true? Who am I and why am I here? God has given us so much information about that. And instead of just staying in their comfort zones, they stepped out and took action upon the information that God had given them. The Bible has much to say. The Bible gives us so much information about who we are, about why we're here. This is an important quote. This is a good quote from Chip Ingram here. Every Christian's life is marked by windows of opportunity that demand a radical step of faith in order to follow Christ and fulfill His purposes for their life. Has God informed you about the purpose of your life? Yes, He has, and the information is right before you. It is open. Know that information and act upon it. Take action upon these truths. Trade what you can control and predict for living by faith. Step out and take action. People living by faith have the single ambition of pursuing God. That's number one. Number two, and they take action on that. That's living by faith. That's what it looks like.